Welcome back to episode 85 of Chess Journeys, Tales of Adult Improvement. Here on Chess Journeys, we like to seek to highlight the glories of rating gains, but more importantly, the plateaus, which are the norms, and sometimes the pits of despair below that. If you want to support the show, you can go to Patreon Chess Journeys. I want to thank Matt Bush, Jay Garrison, Donna Rich Burgess, Brandon Hallside, David Schreiber, Lindsay Newhall, and Jeff Peterson. Another place you can support the show is through our merch store. My daughter and I spent a few hours making some new mugs for the store. She's very proud of them. So even if you don't want to buy one, just send me a message and then I can show it to her that you thought it looked cool. Tell her your favorite color. She would love to know that. I have been streaming quite a bit on Dr. Skull_Tiny Grimes. If you want to stop by there, we're mostly going over Karpov games in ridiculous depth. And you can hear what a 1700 thinks of how Karpov plays, which means I'm often wrong. But at least you can hear why my plan is wrong and see how he is so much better than I am. If you want to appear on the show, you can fill out the Google form in the show notes. We all want to hear your story. But today, we bring in our guest of the hour. We have Kristen today. She is a photographer. She's an adult improver. And like many of us, she is a late bloomer. So Kristen, welcome to the show. And have you had a chance to play any chess yet today?
Hi. And yep. I knew this question was coming, and then I was like, no, I'm not going to play. I'm going to keep my rating where it's at. And then I did anyway and dropped it a couple of points. But yeah, I have played some rapid on the chess today. So,
okay. So I immediately have to ask about this. You said keep your rating where it is. Like, what magic number is it at right now where you're like, no,
well, it's not magic. It's just like I'm recovering from a bit of a tilt. So I was like, okay, don't, like, you're nervous to go on this podcast today. So you're going to be thinking about that, thinking about your rating, playing chess. It might not be a good idea. It was 2067 on Lee Chess. Okay. It's now 2058. I mean, okay with it.
I feel like if you can get the number 2 before your rating, you're in business.
Yeah. I feel like I've been climbing, so I want to be more, I know you're supposed to think during chess, but I want to be more thoughtful with my games. Mm-hmm. Right now, because sometimes I cannot be and just kind of shoot them off.
So. Yeah, just kind of play for fun.
Yeah.
And you're thinking like, I want to really be immersed and going for it. Okay. Yeah. That makes sense. When you say your games, what's your time control that we're talking about?
10 or the 10 plus 5 on Lee Chess.
Okay. So Lee Chess, rapid.
Rapid.
Okay, so to me, 10 and 10-5 are such a huge difference without the increment or with the increment. Yes. What are your thoughts there on increment?
Sorry, there's a cat playing into it. With his toy. I like the increment, but I get bored with increment with the other person thinking so long, so I just want to play. Okay. 10-minute games, and I feel like I can use my time wisely enough in those. But when I have increment, I feel like I have room to breathe, and I'm like, oh wait, I can actually think through this position properly, and I'm learning more. So I'm trying to play more with increment now. But yeah,
okay,
I get impatient and go back to 10.
All right, so we'll come back to where you're currently at in a bit, but I think we should start with your origin story in chess. Like, what brought you into chess? You said you're a late bloomer. So for chess, that's like 8, right? Maybe 9.5 or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Or 39, you know, whatever.
Oh yeah. Similar.
I had just finished like a big photo project. I had made a book, had a big show, and then I had finished like all the rigmarole that goes along with that, and needed to take a break before I started working on my next thing, and wanted to teach myself something new. So it was two things that I've always wanted to learn were chess or piano. And I didn't want to buy a keyboard. So chess it was.
Chess is cheaper. True.
Chess is cheaper. And so I didn't know how to go about it though. And I had met a friend for some drinks one night, and he had no idea either. He was like, I don't know, try typing in something like chess.com to your browser, like just as a joke.
Right. Yeah.
And there that was. So, yeah.
And I thus started... we know how chess.com has made so much money.
Exactly.
Chess.com in. Okay, so I still am curious, like, why were piano and chess on your radar? Like, what put chess on the same levels? Like, this is one of the two big things I want to learn about.
I think there were always things I wanted to learn, even as a kid. Piano, I always wanted to learn, but my mother would refuse to put me in lessons because she hated her piano lessons so much as a child. She didn't want me to inflict the same thing on me. And chess, my dad had a chess board, but I don't think I ever played with him. I know that I learned how the pieces move, like a lot of kids do, but didn't know what castling was. Like, and I learned later on when I went to learn about chess that I really had no idea what, like, I didn't know what castling was. Yeah. You know, I didn't know where the knights and bishops went on the board, like what, you know, like king and queen, which square, no idea. So it was pretty new to me.
Gotcha. And, so you knew the basic basics, but not basic, even the full basics.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was just always something in the back of my head. So, okay. Yeah.
So as an adult, you just type in chess.com and you're like, oh, I'll start here.
Here we go. Yeah.
Okay. Was it inspired at all by the Queen's Gambit like so many people or no?
No, I watched it later. But no, I wasn't. It was just completely random.
Nice. So you're in the Queen's Gambit era, but not part of the Queen's Gambit boom. You're just a person who thought, this looks fun, I'm going to try it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Just how'd it go? Was it fun right away?
The curve. how did it go?
Yeah. Was it immediately fun or was it kind of like, oh, wow, this is way harder than I thought it was going to be?
Well, that was fun for me though.
Oh, nice.
That it was like, oh my God, this thing is far more, like it's like learning music. Yeah. Sorry. So like the levels to it was like, I could learn this for the rest of my life and it would still be interesting to me, you know, 50 years down the road or whatever. So that was really fascinating to me. Yeah. And of course, like a lot of people, I don't know how, but I learned about Tal pretty quickly.
Oh, okay.
You know, the 4s 2 + 2 = 5 quote. I was like, that's awesome. So
that's a good quote. It's a good quote.
Yeah. I think it was a YouTube video and that was like the intro.
Yeah. Quote. Did you associate like an attacking style with him at that point, or did you just know his badass quote?
I just knew his badass quote. Okay. Okay. And I knew he could do some pretty crazy stuff. Like I could watch it and understand that what was going on was pretty wild, but I had no concept of like how, like what was happening really at all. Gotcha. Like I really started out with like the beginner and intermediate lessons on chess.com. Like the basic ones. With the guy that just goes, that's right, all the time when you get something correct. So, I know that voice really well.
Yeah.
And a lot of Simon Williams videos, actually, from chess.com.
Okay.
Got into. Yeah, and then I just started deep diving on the internet and, like, found St. Louis Chess Club stuff. With Yasser Siarwan, and you know, those people made it much more approachable for me, I think.
So you're saying Yasser's approach is more engaging than, that's right.
Yeah.
Okay, that's good to hear for Yasser.
And I wanted to read books right away.
Okay.
You know.
Are you generally...
I learned the Mikhail Tal and had no idea what was going on.
Are you generally a book learner or more of a video learner?
I think I've done both. Okay. But I think I learn more deeply from books.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, like, we're from a similar generation, and it feels like I don't know if it was something about schooling or something, but my brain, when I have a book, I'm like, okay, this is real learning time. Whereas when I have a video, I can kind of like zone out a little bit. Do you feel similarly at all?
Yeah, I find that the videos were like for entertainment, you know what I mean? So, and books, although entertaining, and I like finding ones that have funny authors, good chess writing. It's still more work to do it, right? So,
for sure. So what were your earliest books then that you jumped into, and were any of them effective for you?
Well, the Life and Games of Mikael Tal, I liked the writing, but I had no clue what was going on in any of the games. He's like, so from this position, you can clearly see. I was like, I can't at all see anything.
Were you going through some of the games and you're like, okay, cool moves, but I don't know what's happening?
I have no idea. So maybe not this book. And then I came across, there was a free PDF online of Bobby Fischer Teaches Chess, which is, as someone said on Reddit, basically Bobby Fischer teaches back rank mates. Like, it's not actual chess. It's just, so it's just a bunch of puzzles. But I found that actually very helpful. That was the first book I read through. So.
Okay. And you feel like you got something out of that.
Yeah, I do. And nice. That was like not even a month in. And then I went back and some of the things were difficult. And then I went back the next year and just redid it to see. And I lightened through it. So I was like, okay.
Okay. What do you think about that? Do you generally recommend kind of like reading a book at different times in your progress to kind of catch different things? I really struggle with that myself. There's so many amazing books where I'm like, I could read this one a second time, or I could just read this other book that promises me glory and riches if I just read it.
We're going to be so good when we read all the books.
Exactly.
I think that's the only one I've gone back to. I have like two, I mean, it's funny, but they're actually pretty great. There are two opening repertoire books for kids or ambitious beginners that I go back to often because it's tactical and they go through the full game. So you get middle game structures that happen from the opening, and it's very helpful. I don't use all the openings from there, but those are two that I definitely go back to often. And, you know, I like dabble in like Bobby Fischer's 60 most memorable games or whatever that is. Like, I'll go to and like pick from certain ones and not read fully through.
Gotcha.
So yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So when you started playing, where did your sort of initial rating land you in whatever, you know, type of time control you were playing?
God, like the lowest it can be. I don't
know. Okay. All right. So we're talking like all the way at the beginning.
Like, I constantly had dudes laughing at me because I would just get made in so quickly. And I was like, okay, well, you know, I just started. So, like, online. So.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, like, this is how it works. When you learn something, you start out
then
bad.
Then I found Zen mode on Lee Chess, and it all changed. And I just, like, put them aside.
Nice.
Yeah, so it was low. Like, I didn't know what castling was. I was like, okay, hold up. Like, two pieces at once? Like, what's going on here?
When I taught my daughter castling, I called it the super move.
Yeah.
Like, it is the super move.
I'm like, wait, this, all the, like, the two or three chess games I may have played in my life against someone that actually knew how to play chess, and then they just crushed me. Like, it's like, oh, this would have changed everything if I knew that I could, like, tuck my king away.
Uh-huh. And develop my rook simultaneously.
I know.
That's almost unfair.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you jump into chess. Did you jump in pretty hard right away, or was it kind of like a slow build?
Oh yeah, I'm an obsessive person.
Okay.
So yeah, I just, once I lock into something, I lock into it. So
okay. So how much time were you able to spend then? This was during COVID, is that right?
Just before.
Okay.
So, but winter, and I was taking a break from photo, right? So outside of paid work, my photo work is usually what I spend the most of my time on. So I wasn't doing that. So I allotted that time to chess.
Okay.
It was the middle of winter. I'm in Canada. Mm. Like, there's no doing much. So, yeah.
Yeah. So we're talking maybe a couple hours a day kind of thing?
Oh, maybe sometimes more than that, though, right?
Ooh. Like, wow. I'm jealous. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're spending a couple hours a day. How fast is your improvement? Are you in these glory days where it's like a couple hundred points every couple of weeks and you're like, let me do the math, I'll be grandmaster in like 14 weeks?
No, it went pretty steadily up. I mean, I switched from chess.com to Lee Chess, and so that's a bit different in terms of rating, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when I switched to Lee Chess, I think I was 1100 on Lee Chess. And then by around this time last year, I was, so that was two, that would have been 2 years in, I was 2000 on Lee Chess.
Okay. Wow. So that is a really massive and rapid climb to go from like utter beginner to 2000 Lee Chess. What do you feel like is the biggest part of that? Did you have some phases where you had some big plateaus, or were you just kind of like steadily gaining more knowledge and then just transferring that into wins?
Yeah, steadily gaining more knowledge. And it was, I found it like fascinating how I knew I didn't understand things at a certain point, but that I knew in time it would just slowly build on each other, like that kind of thing that chess does, is kind of that it, your unconscious just kind of figures it out eventually.
Yeah.
If you work on things and if you think about them in a certain way. So that was interesting to me, but I didn't have like any set. I played a lot. I like to learn from playing, especially at the beginning. I would purposely make, there's nothing but making mistakes when I started anyway, but like I would purposely make outlandish mistakes just to see where the game took me.
Oh.
And just to try and get out of those situations.
Wow.
To learn to defend.
Like, yeah, that's fascinating.
So I had a lot of fun doing that.
Right.
You'd
like hang a piece on purpose to see if you could then recover, things like that.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And like sacrifices I had no business, like, so like sacking pieces.
Yeah.
Like, let's see what happens.
Right.
And that kind of got me into like the flow of how the pieces move too. Right. Cause I had no real idea. I had no concept of that.
So yeah.
I was like, how does this game move?
So what it sounds to me like is it was like fearless learning and embracing that I'm going to be bad. And that's fine. That's part of the process. And I'm not going to fear it. I'm just going to engage it.
Yeah. Like I'm a big learn from mistakes person. So.
Gotcha. Yeah. So. That sounds like such an amazing approach. I feel like adults really struggle with that. And I feel like part of that is like they have success in other areas. And so it's like, I'm a successful, smart person. I don't want to be bad at this thing. I want to be immediately good at it.
Good at it. Yeah. Yeah. I went to a cottage with a few friends this summer, and my friend's husband wanted me to teach him chess, and every move he made, he was like, is that a bad move? Are you going to laugh at me? I was like, listen, bro, like if you were better than me right now, like that would be embarrassing. You're going to lose. Like just like, but that's part of the point. You don't know what's happening, but like, we're going to go through it. You know what I mean? Like there's this embarrassment because they think it's all about, you know, it's all about intelligence and things like your worth.
Exactly. There's some sort of intelligence measure the first time you ever play chess. It's like, no, that's not how it works.
No. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you can gravitate towards it easily, but other than that, no.
Yeah. Well, that's really fascinating. What in these 2 years do you feel like had the most impact on your massive gain then? So it sounds like part of it is just playing, losing, experimenting. That's a big piece.
A lot of experimenting. A lot of experimenting. And I think, and reading, and like finding the, like, find, like developing, I mean, I'm still not quite there yet, like developing a proper opening repertoire. It's a bit all over the place. Like I was playing the hillbilly attack against the Carl Kahn until just recently.
So. I always love when people play that. I'm like, okay.
Only because there's so much, right? So I just like some of the openings, like I had to just choose easy non-theoretical stuff because I was like, I can't do this all at once.
Yeah, I hear you.
No,
that's why I gave up on e4. I was like, there's just too many things my opponent can do. Forget it.
I know, but that's what I spent a lot of time on was e4, and so
e4 is a lot.
But you know. Now I'm learning the Tal variation, and I love it. So.
You're learning the what?
The Tal variation.
Oh, of course you are. Why wouldn't you be? You're a big Tal fan.
Yeah, exactly. Even though I don't understand what he's doing still.
Whatever, that's irrelevant.
Yeah.
All right, question about your opening repertoire then. Would you say, do you try to spend more time like learning lines like through a chessable memorization approach, or are you trying to more learn like plans and structures? What's your approach been?
Plans and structures. Okay. Like I'll memorize fun tricks, like, you know, okay. But like, and through repetition of playing, you get to learn, you get to memorize it just kind of
okay.
by doing it. But I have never been on chessable.
Whoa, never even been on Chessable.
No.
Well, they're not currently a sponsor, so we'll excuse that. But they may be in the future. We'll have to go back and edit this episode.
I know. Like, Kristen okay,
was
I
kidding.
Did.
She loves Chessable.
I love it. It's great.
Okay.
I've been for over 100 hours of chess study.
Excellent. Nice work. So when you're doing your repertoire training, then what are you doing? It sounds like you have a book that's helping
books,
guide you
through. Yeah. Okay. So it just goes through games. And the why I like these books is because they have master games in them, but they have like junior games in them too. So it's mistakes that players I'm playing against will make and choices they'll make. So, you know, so it's based on my level, I guess, because I'm like, of course I'm going to read a kid's book because like kids are, who like they're higher rated than me, you know what I mean? Like, so if it's a book for kids, and if a kid is sitting down to read a chess book, they're frigging smart, you know what I mean? So, and it's explained very clearly, you know, it's not intimidating.
I think it's funny that there even are chess books for kids because most kids don't read books.
So that's true. I mean, these are a bit older, I guess. But.
Yeah, it's just kind of funny. Like my daughter loves reading. Loves chess, super smart and engaged kid, and it's like, chess book, you're joking, right? Like, I'm not reading a chess book. Like, no, it says it's for kids. She's like, I don't care. I'm not reading that.
Yeah.
I've gotten her to read half of the Green Book, with something like Chess Strategies for Kids, but it is a tough road to get her to read.
Yeah. I don't know. Okay.
So I think that's such a great point, though, that when you're going through your repertoire, it sounds like you're not memorizing the GM lines. You're more looking at, like, what are the plans and what are the moves my actual opponents might make, like, at my level?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then do you take those games and, like, look at them with an engine or anything like that or review them afterwards?
The games in the book?
I'm talking about more your own games. Is that part of your own?
Yeah, like, so yeah, I'll play. I mean, it's difficult online because it will be random then, right? So you can't be like, I really need to play against the Caro Khan. And, you know, you go to London. But yeah, that's the opposite colors. But anyway, I go through with the engine. I'm bad, I guess. That way I'll go through after, but I also will refer, like, if I had difficulty in a game, I will refer back to the book as well. And I will look online for like games in those openings just to see how things differ. I have bought books for specific openings, like the Portuguese Scandinavian. That's what I play against.
Okay.
E4, so Smurden's book, for that, I bought, so like I'll delve deeper into it because the kids' books are pretty thin.
Yeah, more surface level.
Yeah. Okay. But that's all I need too, right? Like, I don't know. I've been doing okay with that. And then going through it with the engine. And going through it with the engine is not just like, okay, where are my mistakes? Like, I will say, like, okay, is this like a person move or is this strictly an engine move? Is it like something that the engine sees like 17 moves down the line, it's, you know, that's not going to help me, right? So I argue with the engine a lot.
Nice.
When I'm going through.
Yeah, I think that's such an important thing to do, is to not just take the engine as a truth instrument, but as an arguing partner, right? Like, what are you trying to tell me?
Yeah, I
do that a lot as well. And I still oftentimes end up lost, but at least then it's a conversation. I have some students there. Like, I'm a high school teacher, and I had a student the other day, he's like 500 on chess.com, and he's like, I want to show you this game. I was like, okay. And then he like immediately turns on the engine. He's like, the engine says I should go here. And I was like, doesn't matter what the engine says. Just turn it off for a minute. Just like, let's just talk about the position. And then I'm explaining, like, this is what I think about the position. He turns on the engine. He's like, the engine says you're wrong. You should go here. And I was like, okay, why? I don't know. And I'm like, that's not that helpful. Yeah. Also, the engine says its move is like 0.1 better than what I was
suggesting. Yeah, like, what is it? Do you know what that means? Yeah.
Oh, yeah, the engines are fascinating. Do you use Leecha studies at all for your opening prep?
No, I want to learn. That is something I'm going to do upcoming. I think I'm a bad, like, I don't write anything down. I don't categorize everything. I don't do that with anything, right? So I think my memory is pretty okay. So I just, that's how I've always operated.
Okay. So your studies are all in your mind.
They're in my brain.
That's pretty impressive. I can't store all my studies in my mind. I need to have them somewhere else.
But, you know, I probably make a lot more mistakes because of that too, right?
I say we just start calling you Chess Base.
Okay. Thank you.
Just a quick advertisement. I don't know why I'm doing this completely unsolicited, but apparently Nate Solon has a Lee Chess Studies gathering that he did, and he's going to do another one. It looks really cool. If you haven't done them before, Lee Chess Studies are amazing. I highly suggest
I'm going to sign up for that. I couldn't remember his name. I couldn't remember his name. I'm bad with names. I don't know him personally, so I was like, some guy on Twitter. I didn't want to say that.
Some guy on Twitter, definitely. That's his name.
Is holding a thing, and I'm going to do it.
Yeah, I recommend it. I think you'll find it really useful. There's also one of the awesome things about Lee Chess is you can turn on for your ratings level, the openings you play, and kind of get that same thing that you're getting with a book, where it's like, okay, sure, I'm playing the tall variation, and I know what a grandmaster is supposed to play, but what do my opponents actually usually play?
Yeah.
And it's usually not the right move. So yeah, that can be really helpful. I'm finally at this level where I kind of feel like openings are such a hard area because it's no longer always my opponents make the bad move. Sometimes they make the right move. And so now I'm like having to learn two separate repertoires. Like if my opponent is like 2000 plus and going to make the right move, or is my opponent a 1500 who's going to make the intuitive move? What is more likely here? So that's been kind of fascinating as I get a little deeper into my own opening work. Okay, so we've talked about experimenting in games, being willing to just try stuff, opening prep. I haven't heard anything about tactics yet. I thought everyone did like 20 hours of tactics.
Oh my God. Yeah. I mean, I've done puzzles online, but, and in, again, these opening books, there's a lot of it's a lot of tactical lines, right? I feel like I've gotten a lot from there and watching games. I was like, okay, so I'm actually going to try harder at chess this year and try to be a bit more structured. Sorry, my cat is currently climbing behind the computer. And so I'm doing the woodpecker method right now. I'm a weekend though. So
are you doing the woodpecker method like the woodpecker method way, or are you going through that as a puzzle book?
No, I'm doing it the way. I haven't done, like, I'm on my first round, right?
Okay.
So I'm doing the first 4 weeks.
Nice.
I feel like I need to do it that way so I can add some structure.
Okay.
To it. Because this first half of this year, I was doing a lot of watching chess and like just playing, but not really thinking too much about it. So
yeah,
that's where I'm at.
Kind of playing some intuitive style chess.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. How's it going for you? Are you finding are you doing just the easy puzzles then?
I'm going to try to go into the intermediate.
Okay.
We'll see all right. I think it's like 800, I don't know how many.
Yeah.
I'm going to go as far as I can go in the 4 weeks.
Okay. That's a cool. So you're just going to do as many as you can in 4 weeks and then repeat the cycle. Nice.
Yeah.
Okay. I've had such a hard time myself. I've tried it like 6 different times and now I'm just like, I'm just doing it as a puzzle book. And like, I do some woodpecker every day, but I don't do a structured amount.
You didn't, did you do any of like the strict, like cut it in half?
I was almost done with my first 4 weeks, and then I was like, I'm done with that. Which was bad. I should have done it. I would have been better.
My break they take tell me to take, but forever.
Exactly. Okay, well, I'll be really curious to hear how the woodpecker method works for you. I don't know. I've been reading some stuff lately where, like, some people have been pushing back on it and kind of saying, right, like, well, of course it's good. Just doing puzzles is good. And if you're going to do, like, 1,000 puzzles, then, yeah, it doesn't matter what they are. It's going to be great.
Yeah, and I was also doing that, 1,000 checkmate combinations? Oh, geez, I can't remember the guy. Tal does the introduction. about not reinventing the bicycle, I think is the intro. But okay. So it's 1,000 checkmate combinations all broken down into like rook, the knight, the queen, and whatever. So but I found when it was broken down that way, I was like, I'm so sick of doing rook puzzles. Move to something else, please.
Yeah, I can understand that.
Yeah.
What I like so much about the woodpecker puzzles selection is that they feel very different than like chess.com puzzles, which are all incredibly forcing, like win a queen or mate them. And the woodpecker method often is like do a 4-move combo to win a pawn. And you're like, okay, that feels like real chess. Like that's how chess is usually won in the games I'm playing. I very rarely just get to like straight up win a rook or something.
Yeah, no. And I was like, I guess in the easy bot Vinic stuff, I was like, whoa, dude really went far to win a pawn. Like, that's intense. Like, okay. So, but that's also fun, I think. So, yeah, it's teaching me a lot already, I think.
Nice.
I feel like I absorb that stuff well. Although then my games get like really tactically met. Like I just want to play tactics. So it just gets really messy because I'm just trying unsound stuff out. But
yeah, I have a problem like that as well, where I don't like every 15 games, I just like go into wild man mode and I'm like, this is my attacking game. And it's like, what? The position does not call for that at all. And you're like, sure it does.
I want to.
And then I'll show it to my coach and he'll be like, I don't understand. Why did you think there was an attack here? And I was like, no, you don't understand. There was an attack. And he's like, no, only in your mind. It wasn't on the board. Yeah. What?
Yeah. I guess, the woodpecker, I'm like, do I want/need a coach? But the woodpecker is my coach, right?
Okay. So have you had a coach at all in these 2 years? Okay. And is the reason just simply you've been making tons of progress, so like I don't need a coach, or any other reasons?
Yeah, I think I've been making progress, except like I did have a bit of a plateau. But I like teaching myself things, I guess.
Okay.
I can get pretty belligerent if I'm told to do things.
So. Okay.
Fair. So I maybe just need to, you know, pace it out for myself, but it would be helpful to talk through things with a person or people, I think. So
yeah, it's so good to know yourself, I think, and it sounds like you do. Do you have anyone who's like a little bit better than you in your orbit that you bounce games off of and go over stuff with?
So I joined Twitter for chess in the fall, just to like, because of the Neiman drama. And I did like meet someone who's like my friend on there now. We haven't been playing, we were doing puzzles together on there and through Lee Chess Studies, but we haven't in a while. And I will send him like gifts of my games, but
okay,
that's about it. Yeah,
that's cool. Right. So it sounds like
I'm pretty good at knowing when I make mistakes. I usually know them right away, like in the game. I know what to go and look at.
So you are self-reflective, we'll say.
Yeah, self-deprecating and reflective.
Okay, that's good. Okay, well, that sounds great. Anything else in these 2 years? Any like videos or content creators that you really found have been useful, or have they mostly been sort of entertainment value for you?
I'm bad at pronouncing it. So I just, my main go-to for like watching games is Agamator. Is that how you say
okay.
it?
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Like I love watching his channel. I just find this like really like straight to the point. Chess, you know, and that's what I like. Just go through the games. There was this, someone just 2 days ago was like, wait, Ivanchuk has a YouTube channel. Like, newsflash. And I went to that directly. It's amazing. But his mind kind of blows my mind. So I spend the entire time watching being like, oh, does he hold all this in his brain? Like, it's fascinating. So
does he do the thing he does sometimes in post-game analysis where he just like rattles off?
He just goes in like different variations and remembering games and they played this. But like, I was like, like that Gibraltar interview where she has to keep changing her arm to hold the mic, you know.
That's funny.
Yeah, that's incredible.
Okay. All right.
So yeah. So that stuff I'll go to. But yeah. Not a time though.
Okay. Have you thought about steering into over the board chess at all? Have you done it at all?
So last year I did, I just decided, I was like, okay, now it's time for a tournament. I've never played over the board chess before. Okay. I have not looked at it in 3D. Here, I'm going to do it. Just at the local chess club. I played my first game against like someone 1550-ish. Can't quite remember. And I won. And my mind was blown. And I like won his queen. I trapped his knight. People were watching the game.
Wow.
I was like, oh my God. It was such a high. And then I went and lost my next three games. Yeah. So that was fun. I was like, oh, now it says I'm like 1850 after that first game, right? Then my second game I played a teenager who had really frenetic energy, and I was like, oh my God, there's so much that I have to consider now when playing across from an actual person.
Yeah.
Like the first game that I was winning, like the man I was playing was obviously in distress like the entire time. There was a lot of deep breathing.
Right.
Time, so I knew I had him. But this kid I was playing, he was like, his legs were shaking. He would get up from the board every 2 seconds. I was like focusing on that. I couldn't focus on the game. So I was like, oh my God, there's so much more to this than I had ever imagined. So yeah, I haven't gone back since then. I got sick, but I'm signed up for a rapid tournament in June. So that was classical. I had never played classical before.
Yeah. What a big transition that is.
So yeah, I'm doing a rapid tournament, 2 days, 11 rounds, 15 plus.
Okay. That sounds fun. And what did you do to prepare for playing in 3D for the first time? Anything, or did you just show up like, cool, this will be similar?
Yeah. That's what I did.
Okay.
And I had like one casual game with some guy like right before my tournament game.
Mm-hmm.
And I just was like, oh my God, like what is happening? And I play the Grand Prix against the Sicilian. He was doing stuff that I normally would refute. He crushed me very quickly and then was like, good luck in the tournament. And I was like, thank you. Then I won my game, so that was okay. Although he had the king and the queen on the wrong squares, so he didn't really know what he was doing.
Wow.
Yeah. So he beat me. But yeah, it was just like the visual of it was so...
Yeah.
But I've gotten the hang of it. I have a board at home, so
okay. I know
that now. Before, I was just playing on a small pocket, like, magnet.
Okay.
That's with my books that has like the circles, so it basically looks like online because it has like
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Anyway. Okay. So now you've been going through books on an actual like 3D set and to kind of prepare yourself to play more over the board.
Yeah. But now okay. I think it's not that it's not, I've got a handle on it now.
But. Okay. Yeah. It's kind of funny how all it takes is a couple of experiences, but that first one.
Yeah.
Can be so jarring.
Yeah. And it's like I think the fear of it, knowing that it's thinking that it's going to be more different than it is part of the issue.
Yeah.
Because also with classical, it's like, I got all the time in the world here. So like I can take the time and I don't need to see things so quickly. So it's okay if I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
So it was okay.
Yeah. It's interesting to hear being distracted by your opponent. Cause yeah, it can be, you know, there's so much variety of what opponents can do of like, getting out their snack of their bag of chips. And you're like, are you being serious right now? Don't crinkle your chip bag. Everyone's annoyed.
Psychological warfare. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It can be
yeah. And I guess getting used to that, I had played in Zen mode on Lee Chess for a while. So people couldn't chat me or couldn't do anything. And I turned that off. So, So getting used to chat and people coming at you that way was a bit of prep for that, I think. So
okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's cool. So it sounds like it wasn't such a bad experience if you're going back again.
No, I mean, I knew why I lost those games and I, you know, gotcha. And the first win was enough to propel me.
Yeah. To bring you back some more. That's cool. Yeah. So it's you said in our correspondence that you got long COVID, and that sounds like my nightmare. I've gotten COVID twice, and both times it's like, oh, please don't have lasting effects. How terrifying was that?
I was terrified of it anyway. It was the first time I had gotten COVID, and I had been working like in public since the beginning.
Oh wow!
Like taking transit. And I'm in Toronto, so I'm in a big city, but, it was terrifying. And I had like some neurological symptoms happen. I didn't really have like significant brain fog that people explain. Like I know some people that have had that, but my exhaustion, it's like my brain, like feeling tired like that. It was just like, I have no option but to lie down and do nothing right now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it's a different tired. So yeah, that was some months of that. So I'm just kind of crawling out of that right now.
Oh my goodness. Well, I'm happy to hear you're coming out of it. Cause that's just, it sounds horrible. It's funny. The first time I had serious brain fog.
Oh,
and it lingered for like a week or two. And I was like, oh my goodness, am I just done as a chess player now? Cause like,
yeah, terrifying.
I won't be able to do it. And then it went away. And then the second time I got it, thankfully I didn't have much brain fog at all. And it was much more minor, but it was, you know, it's worrying.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, I couldn't do much. I mean, I had to work still a little bit, but I cut down on it. So,
okay.
I stopped kind of studying, like reading books and studying chess. And I was just kind of playing willy-nilly for that time. So that's part of my plateau reason, but yeah.
Gotcha. Were you tempted to make like a COVID account? You're like, I can't play my best chess. I'm going to play on this new account.
Yeah, well, what I did was I just closed the account that I played with while I was like sick and started a new one.
Okay. So, there you go. Okay. That makes sense to me.
Done. Don't want to think about that. Yeah. I would say I was like in the like low 1800s for a bit there. And then I was like, I could take the time to climb back out of this, or I could, now that I'm feeling better, or I could start with provisional again and just
grab my old rating again. That makes sense.
Yeah. So
Okay. So you said it sounds like you've been in a little bit of a plateau lately. I mean, part of it's just long COVID symptoms. Part of it is not having enough time. What have you been trying to do to sort of break through to the next level? Is it just the woodpecker method, or are you doing some other stuff?
It's woodpecker. I bought a children's endgame book.
Ooh, we're doing some endgames now. Okay.
By Karsten Mueller. So he's an endgame specialist, I guess. But
yeah, he is.
Yeah. So it goes pretty deep. I've read about it. So apparently it's a great book. And nice. I did buy Simple Chess just this week. So I'm going to delve into that too, like more positional stuff, I guess. Okay. An easy way in, because I have like read a chunk of Reassess Your Chess, but that's a huge honking thing. So I'm like, I'm going to start with, yeah. So
what a great point. I had a similar experience with Simple Chess where I was like, so people have been recommending this and look at how short it is. So like, even if I get sick of this book halfway through, I'll be like, I can push through for the rest of this thing.
Yeah. I was like, whoa, like, okay. Like the examples, it's like, oh my God, like this, like, it's just like nothing on the page. I'm like, that's great. Sign me up.
And it's a really good book. I don't know if you heard about it from Ben Johnson, but man, it's a great book.
Chess Twitter has actually been very helpful. Join it for the chess drama, make some random jokes on there, but like it's like also very instructive and you can go in a lot of different directions. So
yeah, I found the Chess Punks community to be a really weird online place. I'm used to online places being kind of terrible, and then you're trying to like get good out of them, and then this is just like a great environment, and I'm still waiting for it to like fall apart somehow.
I know. I'm like, what is this, the early days of social media? Like, what is happening?
It's been
great.
Okay, so we're doing Simple Chess, doing some openings. What's your goal with openings? Are you trying to get kind of like, do you already know basics like opposition, or are we starting there?
Oh, openings are...
Sorry, I meant endgames. Sorry.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No. I know the basics of like opposition, and I know like all the basic mating patterns and stuff like that. So, I mean, it gets deeper into, I guess, more complicated stuff, but I'm just starting from the beginning just to go through. And refresh. Because it's definite geometry, so it's good to just like go over. And I like end games, like I find them really interesting. But yeah, you need to sit down and study them. Like it is memorizing. So yeah.
I feel like there's two halves of end game study. It's like the memorizing of the really basic things. Mm-hmm. And then the stuff like Endgame Strategy, the book by Shereshevsky, where it's just kind of like, learn the flow of endgames. And it's just like such a nebulous concept that it's kind of like what you were talking about at the beginning, where you have to kind of just like learn it, let it rattle around for a few months. And then finally you're like, so I just push these pawns here? And the engine's like, yes. And you're like, cool, I learned endgames.
Yeah.
Nice.
So, I mean, I haven't really delved into it too much because then I got on the woodpecker thing, but it is happening in tandem with
that. Okay. So I guess that was the next question I was going to ask you is, do you sort of separate your learning and say, I'm going to do this for 3 months and then this, or are you kind of just like learning everything together a little bit at a time?
That's kind of how I've run it up until now. And now, because I have this, like, it's only a 2-day tournament, but because I have this coming up, I'm like, okay, I know, like each day I want to do a bit of each thing.
Hmm.
Yeah, sometimes I can't, and I can only do one, but like, I try to go over, like, say a game for one of my opening lines each day and do the woodpecker. And then once I'm through the openings that I'm having trouble with, I'm going to move to the end game. But I want all that to be done before this tournament. So I'm not like oh dear God, they're playing the French. What do I do? Like, which was the second game I played in that other tournament. I was like, oh my God, I played the Wing Gambit. I am just learning the King's Indian. I've looked at it twice, and now I have to play it in a classical game.
Yeah, what an interesting problem tournaments pose, right? Is that
they
kind of feel like final exams, right? Where it's like, I need to cram all this information to feel ready, when the reality is you're never going to be ready, right? So then it's just like trying to get to a point where you feel like you can feel like you're ready.
And because Rapid and Blitz are in a different rating, I'm starting completely from scratch. It's provisional. I don't want to mess it up.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah. Wow. Well, here's my suggestion. Try not to feel too much pressure. I know. Super helpful.
That's easy.
Yeah. The saying I've been trying to use lately is that, tournaments are not the final exam. They're just part of the process, but I know it's so hard to embody that, especially if you just have that one tournament coming up, right? It's been easier for me because I'm playing every week now, so I can just kind of be like, that is literally part of the process, is every Wednesday night I play a tournament game.
Right. That's nice. Sorry.
That was... Yeah, sorry. But yeah, that has been really, you're a very popular person.
Yeah, or my partner is. He's mostly on the desktop. I want to get to playing more casual stuff. I just in like over the board, but I haven't had a chance. And that's something I want to do also before this tournament. It's cold here now, but we do have like a Chess in the Park group in Toronto that they do every weekend, Chess in the Parks.
Chess in the Snow, is that what it's called?
They don't do Chess in the Snow. It's at a cafe right now. I just haven't been able to make it.
Thank goodness.
I know, and it's a literal storm outside right now.
Yeah, so. You're like, first we play chess, then we flip the boards over and we sled on them.
Yeah, I know. Maybe early November, Hikaru came to play Blitz at some venues in Toronto, and he was playing in the park, and everyone's like in winter jackets, like, you know. Because that was one of the three factions, I guess, of Toronto Chess. There are three main things. So.
Okay, that's cool. Yeah. So it sounds like you do have some over-the-board opportunities then.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So what are, say, like your goals for this year? I don't know what kind of goals you use. Do you have rating goals? Do you have process goals? Games played goals? What are your goals?
Well, I just want to do well in this tournament coming up. I do want to cross 2100 soonish on Leeches. I think that's going to happen because I think, you know, everybody's like, well, I'm higher rated than I actually am. But like, I think that it's happened pretty quickly that I've actually started focusing on game. Like I said to my friend that I met on Twitter, like, oh, I'm actually going to start thinking during chess games this year. And he was like, oh yeah, like you haven't been before. I'm like, really not sometimes though. Sometimes I'm falling asleep while I'm playing and I magically win.
Wow, that's pretty great. Because when I do that, I magically lose.
Yeah. Well, that happens too. Yeah. So that's something that but it's funny, once you get to that, like, once I get close to like, okay, I'm at like, you know, I'm 30 points away from 2100, then the nerves set in. And I'm like, hey, you can't screw this up. And then it becomes a different game.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Now you're playing not to lose rather than your experimental style of like trying to learn chess.
Yeah. And that's not good either, because that's not.
It's so funny because I feel like ratings are almost only negative in my own chess journey. Like, they make me feel good sometimes where I'm like, yes, I've gained some rating points. I know I'm better. But I also just know I'm better, whether or not there were ratings or not. I just, you know, can play better and I win more often and I'm a more effective chess player. I don't actually need a rating to show me that.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah. It is a good, like, it's a marker. Like, I feel like I was, before Chess Twitter, I was playing in a vacuum, basically. I felt like I wasn't talking to anybody about chess. I was all on my own. Like, I went to the club that one time. But again, like, I show up and just to, like, I like I show up in a room full of 75 dudes, like, and me. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, hey. So, you know, that was like, I didn't know how to break through to meet anybody to, you know, talk about anything with. I hope that will change this year. That's something that I like, meeting more people within this city.
Since you brought that up, was that uncomfortable? Like, were people generally nice to you? Were there people who are rude to you?
Well, that,
like,
how that did first that piece time go? I played that casual game was pretty rude.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Yeah. But then after that, people, that first game, people were watching. They were happy that I had won that first game. They are trying in that club to get more women, but I'm like, that's like, like, that problem runs so deep. That's just that's all of history that you're contending with, okay? Like, it's not. But they're pretty great. They want me to come back. So, you know, they've been welcoming and stuff.
That's good.
And it's not like, it's not like it makes me nervous. I hung out with mostly guys as a kid. Like, it's not like, you know what I mean? It's not something normal. But it's still like noticeable, and psychologically it has an effect, and it's a strange thing because you feel like you have to perform in a certain way to prove yourself in a certain way to not fall into stereotypes people may or may not have.
Yeah. So even if people are nice to you generally, just the fact that it's such a huge gender disparity alone puts pressures on you and makes you feel different than you might in, like, say, if it was just in, you know, equally divided genders, or, you know, all kinds of genders.
You walk into a room as the only woman, or, you know, there's a spotlight on you automatically, right? Yeah. Like my game was being watched. I was winning, thank goodness, but, you know, there were probably other reasons my game was being watched, you know, because I was the only woman playing in the tournament.
Gotcha.
So, but also I had him on the ropes, so that was, you know, that was part of that.
And then after you won, they were all whispering, it's Beth Harmon. It's really her.
Exactly. Yeah. I just dyed my hair. It's not red anymore. It's the same person. I was wearing a mask, so.
Yeah, cut about.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think that's really an important point to take away. Like, be as welcoming as you can be. And then even then, know that it's still going to be an awkward experience for somebody who is in that experience. My daughter is currently going through that. She went to a kids tournament this weekend of, like, I was like, maybe 500 other kids, and there were almost no female players in the whole tournament. Yeah. It was very weird because we'd been seeing lots of little girls, and there just weren't that many at this tournament for whatever reason. And she was kind of like, there's none in my section. This is weird. And I was like, that is weird.
Yeah. Yeah, because that stuff just plays a role. It's a psychological game, right? So,
yeah, I tried to ask her about it, but she's 8, so I'm not sure she can fully process all the nuances. She's just like, I think it was fine, and I'm like, okay.
Yeah, but she did mention it, right? So
yeah, exactly, right.
Yeah,
but she noticed, and so you're like, how much is happening there? Yeah,
and. Yeah, I mean, even still, like, online, another reason I dumped my account and started new is because I had, like, a gender-specific name, and that gets totally different chat things than, I mean, my name still, my name's a bit silly still, like, as a joke, but it's not, like, overtly feminine, so, gotcha. But that makes a difference. Cause then people are like, bro. And I'm like, okay, I'll just go with it. You're calling me bro, whatever.
Yeah. I solved this by just never having chat online. It's just always.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah. I just,
I guess I get stressed out by that stuff so easily that I want to learn how to deal with it.
Mm.
Also, I kind of like trash talking while playing chess. Like, I mean, I do it, like, they can't hear me, but like, I want to, like, I love that part of the game. So, okay. You know, I want to be able to take it.
So, yeah. Okay. That makes sense if you like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
My 8-year-old loves trash talking so much. She says, you know, horrible things to her. She doesn't type them, but she'll just be like, you're the worst player ever. Who would do that? And then like 2 seconds later, I'm like, did you win? She's like, no, I just hung my queen and resigned.
Because I was too busy like coming up with insults. So.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, that's cool. Oh, well.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Kristen, this has been a great conversation. It's been fun to talk about your quick rise, plateaus, your recent, you know, struggles with health. And this has just been a really fun and useful conversation. Is there anywhere people can get a hold of you if they want to follow up with you?
Just on my anonymous chest Twitter under Pony Sunrise.
Okay. Pony Sunrise on Twitter. You can go ahead and contact Kristen there.
And on, I guess on LeChat, I'm Sparkle Garden.
Sparkle Garden. Okay. Yeah. And apparently Kristen likes to trash talk with you. So I will say, if you're going to do it, though, if you're going to trash talk Kristen, be respectful in your trash talk, okay? Keep it above the chest.
Well, maybe, yeah.
Okay.
Maybe we have to know each other first.
All right.
I hope I wasn't too, like, all over the place, but it was really fun to do this.
And... All right. Yeah, thanks so much for coming on. I really appreciate it. Yeah. For those of you out there who are having a tough week, stick with it. Next week might be that week where you have your breakthrough. If this is your week where you gain 200 points, really enjoy it. It doesn't happen that often. It really doesn't. So I'll see you all next time, and I hope you all have a great week.